for argument is Gao v. Mukasey. Mr. Zhang.
Good morning. May I please the court, my name is Yongbin Zhang. I'm the attorney representing petitioner in this case. This is about immigration.
Would you speak a little louder?
Okay. This is about immigration removal proceeding case. In this case, we request the court grant petition and remand the case back to BIA for BIA to reconsider whether previous attorney's conduct constitute ineffective assistance of counsel. The highlight of petitioner's ineffective assistance of counsel's claim lies in pages 94 to 104 of the supplementary administrative record, which covers the last minutes of the removal proceeding occurred on March 16, 2004. During that period of a couple of minutes, petitioner first was advised by the court the availability of the voluntary departure as a relief. And then there was some off-record discussion, and the previous attorney indicated that a petitioner would pursue with asylum application. And then there's another off-record discussion. It appeared that a petitioner would still want to pursue the asylum application. And then there's another off-record discussion. Then all of a sudden, there's this conversation between the immigration judge and the previous attorney regarding the petitioner's taking voluntary departure as the relief. The respondent in this case, which is government, argued that the portion of the record supports a clear finding of petitioner's knowingly withdrawal of asylum application for voluntary departure under the advice of previous counsel, but an objective reading of that portion of the record does not compel such finding.
But it certainly supports such a finding, since the lawyer is the agent of the person. This is not a criminal proceeding. The lawyer is entitled to speak for the person, and the judge says, I'm asking you as an officer of the court, is this your client's decision? And he's told yes. So it seems to me that at a minimum supports, if not compels, the conclusion that the IJ drew. And the second point that I just feel compelled to make about this case is that your client is in a very unattractive position before the BIA at this point with these discretionary motions that are the ones properly before us, because he disappeared for 11 years. I mean, it's asking a lot to say that the board is supposed to disregard that fact.
Your Honor, I'm confused. You said my client disappeared for 11 years?
Well, I might be thinking of somebody else, but it's there's all this stuff that goes on in 1997. He applies for asylum in 99. His removal hearing begins in 01. So maybe it's not 11 years, but it's a long time.
It's 11 years.
Yeah. It seems to me it was 11 years he vanishes for.
Yes, he claimed that he came to the United States one time and then departed and then came back and applied the asylum application. The asylum application was initially recommended approval by the asylum office.
Right, and then office, they find out about
and them. Then they find about the hit in the rap sheet, and then they the government found out the arrest occurred in Utah, and the case was referred to the immigration court. And then this issue of the documentation came up. I agree with Your Honor. This client, the records, the evidence in the records does not appear that my client is a very good asylum seeker. But what I request the court to review is this conduct happened at the very last minutes of the hearing. It all depends on how the court should review the complaint filed by the petitioner.
It also depends on the ability of a lawyer to speak for a client in these kinds of proceedings, which is something we've said is something a lawyer can do.
I understand that, Your Honor. But in this case, obviously, the previous attorney is not the previous attorney cannot communicate freely or directly with petitioner, and she had to communicate through the usage of the interpreter. Before that hearing on March 16, 2004, another gentleman, a Chinese man, served as an interpreter, but on that day, that interpreter was not available. The only available interpreter was the court-appointed interpreter. Here, the petitioner claimed that the previous attorney never discussed off the record with him regarding the length and the consequences of the voluntary departure or the...
But we have no evidence of that. We don't have an affidavit from the prior attorney. We don't have the response to the ARDC complaint.
Yes, Judge. But I believe when we filed the motion to reopen, initially with the immigration judge, we did not obtain a copy of the response from the previous attorney. But by the time the motion was dismissed by the BIA, we did have a copy of that. We did get the response from the previous attorney. But that response is not in the record, didn't directly respond to my client's allegation that he never communicate with my client. Well, I think the best way to solve this problem is through the BIA or the EOIR, because the interpreter was appointed by the court, and only the court or only the EOIR had the access to the interpreter, and eventually, it's going to be a matter that the previous attorney has to be confronted with the court-appointed interpreter regarding this allegation. And I think only the EOIR is in a position to do this and to solve this problem. So I think this allegation, the petitioner allegation regarding the misconduct of the previous attorney, is a serious one. Although we do not have direct evidence in this case, but I think that the port of the record suggests that my client is truthful on this issue. And the second issue is about the present counsel act with diligence in filing a motion to reopen. Now, the BIA, in his in its 2005 decision, pointed that although the motion was in compliance with Matter of Lozada, but the present counsel didn't show the diligence. Well, I just want to let the court know that before filing a motion to reopen based on Matter of Lozada, the counsel has to fulfill several matters. In this case, we have to get a copy of the tape from the court, review the tape, and then discuss with the client, and then prepare an affidavit, send the affidavit to the previous attorney, and then prepare the motion. All these matters have been conducted within 2 month period. And I think that's reasonable and has shown the diligence of the present counsel. And I think my time is up, and I would reserve time for the rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zhang. Mr. Blakely?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is John Blakely, appearing on behalf of the respondent, Attorney General of the United States. Although I agree with Your Honor that Mr. Gao is in a poor position with respect to the board, I feel it's necessary to correct one thing. There's no 11-year disappearance
I was thinking about, but never mind.
But it's a 10-year period between the time he was in Utah in 77 and we're here
97,
today.
97, yeah.
Well, it was from he entered the country in January of 97 and then he left in February of 98. He says he left and then he says he returned in June of 99, and then he applied for asylum in December of 99. So there's no long disappearance of time, at least to the extent that it affects the facts of the case. I just wanted to clarify that. But I do agree with you that there are serious issues that Mr. Gao has before the board.
Did you discuss the question of the timeliness of his petition for reconsideration in your brief?
Just to the extent that we decided that it wasn't even necessary to get that far.
They'll get that far. That seems like the easiest ground. I understand.
That's one place that we could have.
Why didn't you mention it? I mean, the board found untimeliness, and it's a discretionary judgment, presumably entitled to wait. I don't know why you didn't want to mention that.
That was just a discretionary decision that I made with my supervisor. There are so many different places that this fails. That Mr. Gao's arguments fail, that we felt that wasn't necessary. It's stated in the board's decision that he did not exercise due diligence. And the due diligence comes in here. It was immediately after the immigration judge's decision where Mr. Gao withdrew his application and accepted voluntary departure. Apparently he thought that there was some issue right away because he pursued counsel. And he, in fact, met with counsel for the first time only 20 days later. At that time, there were 70 days left for him to file the motion to reopen. And he, with 70 days within which he could have filed the motion to reopen, he chose not to to meet that deadline. That decision not to meet that deadline was his failure to exercise due diligence. So that's one reason that this court could deny the petition for review. But in the whole scheme of how you evaluate a motion to reopen, it's not necessary to reach the due diligence until you decide whether or not there's been ineffective assistance of counsel. And here there's absolutely no evidence that there's ineffective assistance of counsel. What we have is a reasonable decision made by an attorney in consultation with his client, and that representation was made to the immigration court. It was made.
Now we're talking about Attorney Ekachukwu.
Yes, Your Honor.
At this point, and you agree with Mr. Zhang that we never did that the record never did get supplemented with that attorney's response to the disciplinary complaint.
Yes, Your Honor, that is true, and that goes to Mr. Gao's failure to satisfy the requirements of matter of Lozada, a separate issue. But the fundamental point that I want to make before this court is that Mr. Gao had a full and fair opportunity to litigate his asylum claim. And once he faced the barrier of a fraudulent document, an additional document that was not what it purported to be, and then he was also faced with the discovery of two lies by the court, he then took a break. And the best advice from counsel at that point was, you need to accept voluntary departure because right now you'd be facing a frivolous finding. Now, there's some issue about whether or not the frivolous warnings were given in advance, so he may not in fact have faced that. But in that position, you could expect that you'd have to at least argue about whether or not there's a frivolous finding.
And just for my sake, you could review the advantages to him, the practical advantages of taking voluntary departure. He'd be able to come back sooner without needing to get the Attorney General's permission.
If he takes voluntary departure.
Had he properly taken voluntary departure?
I assume that was part of counsel's discussion. An additional advantage, in addition to that, in addition to the not having to face the frivolous finding was that he was able to get 120 days of voluntary departure instead of 60. So there are definite advantages to the decision that was made. But that decision was made first with consultation, and that consultation was made at least in the presence of an interpreter. And although there's an affidavit from Mr. Gao that says that there was no actual discussion, but we don't have the attorney's view on that. So it's that there, although there's evidence to support, there's some evidence to support what Mr. Gao says, his affidavit. Okay, there certainly is not evidence to compel the finding that Mr. Gao had no consultation.
Was there any other indication on the record that Mr. Gao was having problems with this court-appointed interpreter? I assume it was the same interpreter for the whole proceeding as they're going on and off the record.
Yes, it was the same interpreter, and there's no indication at all. And, in fact, there's indications that everything was well understood. In particular, there are indications that the decision to withdraw the asylum application was understood. The immigration judge spelled out in particular to Mr. Gao with the interpreter that the asylum application was being withdrawn, that he was accepting voluntary departure. And Mr. Gao actually makes intelligent questions about what exactly is going on with his case. He argues in his affidavit that he had no idea what was going on. But I think the questions that you find, and this is on page 104 of the supplementary record, the questions that he asks are, can I file for an extension? Can my attorney do that? He asks a little bit about the timing of that extension. So he understands that he certainly understands enough to ask those questions. So that tends to defeat the argument that he did not have this consultation and that this wasn't a voluntary withdrawal of his asylum application. Now, I think with that, I think I'll, and if there are no other questions, I think the government will rely on its brief and ask this court to deny this petition.
I'm curious about something. It has nothing really to do with the merits here, but I thought it was pretty efficient. I mean, we're sometimes critical of the Immigration Service, but to locate these fingerprints from Utah in 1997, how does that happen? Is there some national database? If a Utah, you know, Provo, Utah Police Department fingerprints somebody, how does Immigration?
I'd have to check the record to be sure, Your Honor, but I'm pretty sure it was the FBI database that had that arrest.
He was arrested by the FBI?
No, that it was entered into that database. But I have to check the record to be sure.
But are all fingerprints put in the FBI database? From local police departments?
I don't know the answer to that question, Your Honor.
Okay,
thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blakely. Mr. Zhang, does he have any time? 1 minute left, yeah.
One factual point I want to emphasize.
So with regard to the timeliness issue in the 90 days, were you his lawyer at that point?
Yes, Judge.
Why didn't you, could you have asked the board for an extension of time?
I could have done that, but in this case, I didn't do this because I thought we have a very good claim of ineffective assistance of counsel.
That's absurd, right? Rather than litigate over, the fact you have a good claim for ineffective assistance doesn't mean that you can file your claim in an untimely fashion. If you can get an extension, why not get an extension rather than get into this, you know, equitable tolling morass?
Judge, I think there are only maybe around 15 to 16 days after the 90-day period.
Doesn't matter whether it's 5 minutes. Are we going to have ineffective assistance pyramid here where you're ineffective assistance because you could have asked for an extension of time and didn't? I don't understand. Why would someone let a critical deadline pass when you could get an extension of time by spending 10 minutes writing the application.
Well, it might be a lesson learned, but I still want to emphasize that when Mr. Gao took the voluntary departure, he did ask the court that I have to find out whether I have trouble if I going back to China. And I think this testimony contained in the record, and this, I think he's confused about his voluntary departure. That's why he asked the departure time can be extended. Thank you, Judge.
Okay, well, thank you to both counsel.